In a world that tells us that slick and shiny is the only way to go when it comes to building our businesses, I'm here to provide an alternative. I'm Jo Casey, and I'm the coach you come to when you've grown tired of those bro marketers and their obsessions with the size of their funnels and how early they get up every morning. In this podcast, I'm going to be sharing the unshiny approach to doing business and how this can lead to greater connections, more clients, and an all-round lovelier way of doing things. It's all about showing up fully as our genuine selves. Yes, even with the imperfection and the messiness that can come along with that. I'm going to be having conversations with fellow business owners, but also people who are pioneers in changing our perceptions of success and who we have to be to attain that. So join me each week as we dive into helping you build your unshiny business. When I first started my business, I really struggled because I couldn't see anybody who was like me in the online business space. There were lots of very polished, very together, smiley, thin, look at my amazing spotless kitchen type of coaches and business people out there. And I just couldn't see myself reflected in what they were saying, in their approaches, or in a lot of their methodologies. That can be a barrier to a lot of us. I know I'm not the only one who struggled with this, and thankfully over the years I have gathered a band of fellow travellers and found my people, but it was a lot more difficult than it needed to be. In this podcast, I'm going to be sharing some of my experience, some of my expertise, as well as speaking to fellow travellers along the path of moving away from the very aggressive bro marketer, sell that thing, crush your dreams type of approach, and over to something a lot more human, a lot more doable, marketing for the rest of us. Not just because it opens up a space for those of us who aren't shiny and aggressive and very kind of, I'm a tiger type of people, but because those techniques just don't work in the same way that they used to, and they're not the kind of things that we want to be putting out into the world. I'm Jo Casey, and I work with artisanal business owners, people who are in it for the work, for the craft, for making a change with their clients or with their products or through the work that they do. People who want to put their values front and center of their business. People who are not comfortable with the idea that we have to manipulate people into sales or we have to be on social media 24/7. And that's why I call this alternative approach the unshiny approach to doing business. So let's talk about what an unshiny business actually is. And it's a good place to start by looking at, well, what is a shiny business like? You know, what are the elements of a shiny business and how does an unshiny business differ? And that's not to say that shiny is a bad thing. It's just that I use that as the terminology for, you know, some people will call it bro marketing. Some people call it kind of, you know, traditional or hardcore marketing. You can call it what you want. To me, I just call it the shiny marketing because it's the stuff that I find just so impenetrable and it just leaves me cold and it does for many of my clients. So let's look at that and some of the elements, because doing that contrast, I think, is really useful when it comes to, okay, so what is an unshiny business then? So shiny marketing, the extreme, I'm talking about the extremes here, but they have that really masculine approach. Sometimes it's referred to as bro marketing, and There's a coach called Carolyn Herfurth, I think you pronounce it, had this really nice kind of a set of descriptions for it. Maggie Patterson also talks about this a lot, and she, I'm using Carolyn's definition at the moment. So a bro marketing approach is, it's very masculine. It's a very masculine approach, that kind of idea of aggression, dominance. The idea is very often that there's a manipulation that goes on, using psychological triggers to compel a desired action. So there's this kind of whole field of research called social triggers, which is about, you know, what are the kind of things that we can do, we can say, or the conditions we create that mean it's more likely somebody's going to take an action. And there are people who, you know, who make whole careers out of sharing these techniques. And, you know, some of them you kind of think, okay, that's fairly benign. And then others are really kind of hardcore manipulation stuff. And there's the whole gamut of them when it comes to marketing. So I'm not saying that using all social triggers is a bad thing, because we probably all inadvertently use those at times, but it's extreme. There's this emphasis on how can you manipulate somebody psychologically to compel them to do things. So they use things like false scarcity, only 10 places left, or we can only take 100 people on this webinar, which it turns out is like pre-recorded and there is no up limit of how many people they can get on there, or, you know, it's only available at these 3 times. And then you look, it's pre-recorded. Why is it only available at those 3 times? But you kind of think, I have to get on there, otherwise I'm going to miss out. It creates this agitation in people. Similarly, really short deadlines. You know, when you get those, the tripwires where it's counting down like 10 minutes and you can see the seconds ticking by. And it tends to throw us into this psychological state of agitation. And one of the ways that our brain tries to resolve and therefore relieve that agitation is by, you know, taking the action. And when we're in the agitated state, we're much more likely to sign up for the thing that maybe we didn't want, really. And, you know, again, it's this manipulating people. Overinflated promises or really complicated funnels and blueprints and this constant cycle of launches. I know a lot of my clients worry about how am I sending too many emails and things like that when they are, you know, maybe they're just sending like 3 a week or something. Or and then on the other extreme, you get the people who are sending, like, you know, at the end of a launch, for some people you get like 6 or 7 a day. And again, it's trying to trigger this psychological response, which means that when we're agitated, we're more likely to take an action. Bro marketing was created primarily by men and for men, but there are also women who use these techniques. Again, we're talking about the extremes, and they disguise their bro marketingness because they do it, like, you know, with lots of pink. They do like a lovely pink flat lay with glitter on it and metallic flourishes and things like that. These approaches are so pervasive. It for a lot of us, it's what we think of as marketing. You know, that's kind of the definition. And also for a lot of us, it's when we kind of enter this world, because typically the people I work with, and you may relate to this, is certainly how I was, they are really into the thing that they do. You know, they're coaches and they love coaching, or they're healers and they love the you know, they can really see the power and the potential for change, and they love being able to help people, and that's what they're driven by, and they want to be able to, you know, make a great living from it. And then they attend a couple of webinars or see these other people and they kind of go, oh my God, I couldn't possibly do that. That looks hideous. And that was certainly my response. It's almost like this real visceral kind of ugh reaction. There's lots of, you know, when these people are selling things to us, because also a lot of the things that we see and we see as marketing, they're things that are targeted towards us as business owners. So they'll be talking about their launch formulas, and they'll be talking about persuasion copy. And you may have heard phrases like push the pain points and, you know, emphasize to people that they're really going to miss out if they don't get this offer. You know, hurry, places are limited, 10xing things, very transactional. All of these 6 and 7 figure promises. Fair amount of guilt tripping and shame-based selling. Oh, you don't want this thing? Well, I thought you were interested in building your business. You that kind of thing. Lots of FOMO, fear of missing out. Lots of urgency, trying to create insecurity. This idea that we constantly have to be hustling, you know, all the time. There's a, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk, quite famous thing that he talked about. You know, if you're not willing to work 16 hours a day for it, then you don't want it badly enough. And I take such exception of that for, you know, as somebody who literally does not have 16 hours, nor do most people unless you have, you know, an inheritance and a wife and staff who are going to be looking after things. And this idea that we have to win all costs, you know, it's very dominance based. You have to win the sale, you have to crush the competition, crush your goals, all of that kind of stuff. Oh god, it's exhausting even thinking about it. So you may be thinking, well, that sounds hideous, but it must work, mustn't it? And then here is the other thing, that these approaches have been garnering fewer and fewer results as time has gone on. Because audiences are not stupid. And the coaching world is especially, it's littered with people who've tried all of these tactics and have little to show for it. I have worked with people who have spent tens and tens of thousands on strategies that haven't delivered the results that they were promised. So let's look at what works instead. What works instead is unshiny marketing, human-to-human connection. And it's also adult-to-adult connection. When I talk quite a lot, I talk about the concept of, you know, in marketing, you may be familiar with the, you may be familiar, start again. Adult-to-adult approaches. You may be familiar with the concept of transactional analysis. If you're not, here's a tiny, tiny, very high-level view of it. It's the idea that at any one time, we are, as humans, in a particular psychological state of either adult, parent, or child. Parent and child tend to have this triggering effect on each other. I don't mean triggering as in, you know, triggering trauma or anything like that. But if you've ever had the experience where, so I can remember there was one time when I was working for an organization and I was having a meeting with somebody and she burst into the room and she said, "I can't believe you kept me waiting like that. There are so many mistakes in this piece of work. This really isn't acceptable." So she was being very, referred to as critical parent. Now, was my response to that calm and measured? Oh no. My response was stroppy teenager, basically. I'm in my 30s at this point. And I immediately, I could feel this physical change on me. And I was almost doing that kind of wobbly neck, shaky shoulders thing that teens do. And I was like, well, it's not my fault that happened. You know, and I was immediately on the defensive. And I was immediately in this, almost like this teen can't tell me what to do state. Similarly, you may have had experiences where somebody's been very, very, very in need. And your response has been to go and to soothe them and to take control and to reassure them and tell them it's going to be okay. And because what can happen if sometimes in a needy, almost childlike state, it can trigger our nurturing parent side. Now, these things aren't bad. As I say, we are always in one of these kind of three headspaces, if you like, any one time, and usually happens totally subconsciously, usually before we've even noticed that it's happening. So I sometimes think of that, you know, Newton's cradle, those desk toys where you pull out the ball on one side and it'll hit the middle balls and then the other ball swings out. So that equal and opposite reaction. It's like that, but psychologically when we're interacting with people. And bro marketing uses those approaches quite a lot. It will sometimes use critical parent. Yeah. If you haven't got onto this yet, or if you're not prepared to work 16 hours a day, you don't want this enough. You know, how do you expect to get into a good school if you're not going to sit and put the work in? It's that kind of tonality, which can trigger stroppy teenager, can also trigger any other kind of aspects of that kind of child persona within us. And quite often that will be compliant child. You know, you're absolutely right. I don't know what I'm doing, do I? I really do need to sign up for this because, oh my God, I could never do this. I'm not working 16 hours a day. I need to work harder. And so in TA, what they talk about, in transactional analysis, what they talk about is to kind of bypass those interactions when they're not healthy and they're not being very helpful is to use the adult state. And the adult state assumes that, well, I'm an adult and you're an adult. And so therefore, we can talk rationally, we can talk emotionally, but we are both at an equal level. I don't need to dominate over you. I don't need to shame you, nor do I need to kind of go, oh, please like me, please like me. It's this equal relationship. And in the unshiny approach, what we focus on a lot is how can you maintain that equal, respectful relationship so that you are, so that those, your audience, your potential clients have that real sense of agency. There is no shaming that goes on. There is an assumption there, you know, that in our actions that actually people can make good decisions for themselves. I don't need to manipulate them into doing anything. The unshiny approach is also about placing our values front and center of our work. So there's often lots of debate in, oh hang on, yeah, it's still recording. Okay. There's often lots of debate around, should you be talking about politics in your business? Well, personally, 2016 and Brexit and the election of Trump were the watershed moments that for me meant I could not talk about it. I could not kind of just pretend, oh, you know, they're all the same, aren't they, on both sides. So when you have people overtly lying or being overtly racist and misogynistic, and when there's real actual harm being done, for me personally, I could not remove that from my dialogue. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that I have courses that are around social justice or things like that. That's not my field of work. But it does mean that when I'm on social media, I don't shy away from sharing my opinion or saying which side of the fence, if you like, that I land on. I also make sure that I focus on how my values play out in my business and in my work. So it's not just talking about what your values are, but there's also something about how have you got your business set up in a way that reflects and honours your values. So, for example, one of my values is community, which is always makes me laugh because I have, you know, I'm massively introverted. And I know how hugely invaluable community is. And so having communities, and communities, whatever they may look like, having healthy communities is really important. So for certainly my group program, my signature program, the Supernova Collective, community is baked in right at the beginning of that, and we make sure that we have a session right at the beginning of the program, which is about let's all define our kind of working practices and how we're going to show up for one another and how we're going to handle conflict and those kind of things. It's really, really important for me that we have those kind of healthy interactions and healthy community. Things like, you know, being genuinely anti-bullying is really important to me. I do not always get it right. Sometimes I get it massively wrong. But one of my values is also around kind of learning from your mistakes and making amends when you do that. It's not an if, it's a when. I think if we're kind of interacting as humans, we're always going to mess up and we have to be okay with messing up. It doesn't mean you like it, but it means that, you know, you're not just going to dissolve into a heap on the floor if somebody calls you out. Having conversations rather than it just being buy my thing. There's an awful lot of media marketing which is about that kind of very shouty approach to things, and the unshiny approach is about well let's have conversations as humans. So I will regularly have virtual coffees with people, virtual cuppas with people. My social media is, you know, a mixture of things like sharing what I think is going to be useful content, but also kind of conversation starters. I think this, what do you think? And it again reinforces the idea that it's this very adult-to-adult approach. Being transparent in things like your pricing, being transparent in things like what your values are, things like, you know, what people get as part of the programs, being transparent sometimes when you mess up, trying to be clear around things, doing your best to have some clarity around this is who I help, this is what I help them with, these are the kind of things that we will work on, these are the kind of outcomes you can expect. But it's providing that clarity around it. And that can sometimes mean, no, that's not what we work on. Or no, that's, you know, I'm very open and clear with people. You know, can you help me get to six figures if I do this program? It's like, no, it will not. If you're at like a high five figures, then quite possibly. But if you're starting from zero, no, it's very unlikely we will get you to that stage in this as part of this course. So it's about being really clear what you offer, being really clear about what you don't, and being clear when you don't know as well, which brings us to the next one, which is about honesty. Being honest about sometimes what the struggles are, what the messiness is, because I think having that, being able to have more of those conversations about, well, what does it really take is very empowering, is really important to be able to share. Because there's so much overblown promises. You know, there's so much around, oh, look at my wonderful life, look at my laptop lifestyle, when, you know, behind the scenes there could be all kinds of things going on. And I think what that kind of faux perfection, what that does is it does a couple of things. It says to other business owners, oh, look, your life isn't as perfect as me, therefore you couldn't possibly do this. And I know people aren't overtly trying to say that, but that can be the result of it. But what it does, more importantly for your bottom line, is it says to clients, I'm your guru, I will save you, I will rescue you. Or it says to them, you couldn't possibly attain what I have attained. Because, you know, I sometimes look at people like Tony Robbins. Now, Tony Robbins is a flawed human being, but to listen to Tony Robbins most of the time, he has no flaws. You know, he's perfect all the time. He's very, very defensive. And I think a lot of that kind of male, not just marketing, but yeah, I'm recording this a couple of days after Piers Morgan's walked off Good Morning Britain after being called out for his appalling treatment of and comments around Meghan Markle. And that kind of pretend that, you know, I'm invincible and everyone else is a snowflake. And then as soon as people are called out on things, it's like the board is tipped up in the air and people walk off and leave the field and complain, and it's cancel culture then suddenly. Whereas they will spend so much of their time trying to cancel other people, or this real kind of viciousness that goes on. And I honestly think that an awful lot of that comes from the inability to show any vulnerability, the inability to say when they've messed up, the inability to even hear a challenge around whether that was the right thing to do. Because a lot of the things that we do in our work, because I the majority of the work that I do is with coaches, with healers, with makers, it's nuanced. There aren't always a right and wrong. The type of work that I would hazard a guess that you're doing, that I'm doing, that most of my clients and my friends and my colleagues are doing, it's kind of pioneering in a way. We're collectively breaking and individually breaking molds as we do this work. And so there are no easy answers. You're not always going to have a kind of, yes, got that perfectly right. You're going to mess up. And sometimes there'll be some messiness around, I don't know if I messed up. I did the right thing and I thought at the time, but now in reflection, I'm not sure if it was the right thing. Maybe there wasn't a right way of handling this. An awful lot of doing business is about, I'm going to try it and see if it works. And then if it does or it doesn't, then I need to kind of reflect and gather the data and get the feedback and see how could we make that better. Or if it doesn't work, it's about how can I change some things maybe to try it again? Or do I need to take a completely different approach? And if we're not able to operate in those nuanced, messy spaces, then it's really hard to grow. Then you end up just, you know, crumbling at the first sign of something going wrong because you can't handle the fact that it isn't shiny, it isn't perfect. And I think psychologically that's really bad for us. So there's an element of having that transparency around running your business for you as the business owner, but also for your clients. If you're a coach, if you're a healer, if you do anybody who does any kind of work that involves a human exchange, even if you're a maker, then our clients want to know more than anything, can they trust us with their vulnerability? Can they trust us with their hope? But if you're somebody who is so uncomfortable with vulnerability, who always shows up as with this shiny, completely shielded, you know, almost like demigod figure, how is your client going to be able to trust that? They're going to look at that person and go, that person could never help me, because they wouldn't understand what it's like to be me. I work with a lot of particularly life coaches who get quite hung up on the idea that they have to somehow show that they are superhuman beings who never have any stuff, who never struggle with anything, in order to have clients have faith in them. And I actually think it's the opposite, because nobody has no stuff in their life. Nobody has this perfect, polished life. And next week's episode is all about why that is a terrible thing for us all. Nobody has that. And so in order to really connect with your clients and really allow them to trust you, they have to be able to see you. They have to be able to see you and your humanity. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to show up, you know, you've just had the row with your partner and you're there doing the ugly cry on Instagram Live. You don't have to do that. I wouldn't dream of doing something like that, but I'm really open about the fact that, you know, I launched this program and it didn't quite work, or I struggle with these aspects of marketing, or I struggle with consistently showing up because I find it quite exhausting and I never quite know where the line is between when is it too many emails and when is it enough, you know, all of those things, because there isn't one right definite answer, just like there's no one right definite answer for how do you be a human. And when we're in that kind of shiny mold, when we're in that everything is perfect, everything is fine mold, and we're not showing that human side of us, that messy side, that unshiny side, it creates this barrier between us and our potential clients. So the unshiny approach is about how do we allow ourselves to show up as in all of our humanity with our gifts and our skills placed front and center, you know, fully owning what we can do and our brilliance and being able to say to people, I can help with this, this and this. And do it in a way that is going to create real connections with our people. And that is what my friend and mentor Tanya Geisler calls simple, not easy. But that's what we do here. That's the work. That's the unshiny approach. And it doesn't have to be complicated. It's about sometimes showing up and saying, it's really hard at the moment, isn't it? And here's how we could make it just that tiny bit easier. Instead of saying, it's really hard, but here's how you can crush all of your fears and never feel fear again. You know, it's about nuance and it's about having that, almost like a reality check to some of that really overblown marketing approach. Because people are so tired of it. They're so over it. It's not working in anything like the way it may be used to because our audiences have got wise to it. And so not only is it ethically a far better thing to do, not only does it feel much better to do as business owners, it's way more effective. So I hope that this episode has helped to maybe clarify some points to you, maybe give you some pointers about how you can produce a more authentic, less shiny connections with your people, how you can take some of the pressure off yourself to try and mask just your very humanness, and how you can see that there is more than one way to market, and marketing, running your business, working with your clients can actually be a really lovely thing. It doesn't have to be this horrible separate thing that you is just like, you know, eating your vegetables or, you know, just the thing you have to do in order to be able to do the work that you want. It can be this gorgeous extension of the work you already do and who you are in the world. Thank you so much for listening. I would love to answer any questions that you have. Feel free to email me at joe@joecasey.com. If you have questions, and I will be more than happy to answer them on one of the forthcoming episodes. Thank you so much. You take care. Have a great rest of your day. You've been listening to the Unshiny Podcast with me, Joe Casey. If you've enjoyed this episode, it would be great if you take 2 minutes of your time, hop over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a rating and review. It helps the algorithm to show us to more people, and I don't know how it works, but apparently it's super helpful. Thank you again, and I'll speak to you soon.